Buongiorno, my name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
Hi there, this is Jordan Rich, and it's my pleasure, as always, to co-host this wonderful podcast with Lauren Birmingham. And Lauren today is in Positano, Italy, sitting at a table having a terrific lunch at Le Tre Sorelle Osteria, a landmark restaurant. Now, Lauren has arranged for me to meet and talk with two of the family members who run the restaurant, Luigi Pisacane on the front end, and from the kitchen, his brother, Alphonse. Let me start with Luigi. Buongiorno. Tell me a little bit about the restaurant. How long has it been in existence? How long have you had it? And how do you describe it to people?
So the restaurant has been in the same location since the early 50s, 1953, probably. And the restaurant name Le Tre Sorelle comes from the fact that my grandmother and two sisters, they start the restaurant in Positano, right here at the beachfront. So the restaurant has been in the family for over 7 years between my grandmother with the sisters first, then by herself, then my dad started helping her, and then me, my mom when they got married, me, my brother, and our sister too. So now I'm working restaurant full-time 35 years. My brother probably a little less than me, and our sister... She's in charge already about probably 20 years now.
Tell us what you do. Your role is very important. What do you do at the restaurant?
Let's say manage the restaurant, taking care of some buying and choose food, wine, menu, but also looking after the staff, the customers. We do a lot of things. More with my sister. And then my brother instead is one of the head chefs. So he's more in the kitchen taking care of food.
We'll talk with Alphonse as well in a moment. But can you describe to the folks in America and elsewhere what an osteria is? What does that mean?
Osteria was, in the old days, was considered a place where people can go there for a glass of wine and a bite. Some sort of, not like a menu, but maybe one dish or two dish. The focus was like people go there also to play cards or to entertain themselves. I think it would be like what is a pub in the UK, something like that, where people meet after work and have a catch up. There to Trattoria, which was a place where the people are working in the farmland, they stop the same for some food. And then restaurant, ristorante becomes like a more, let's say, sophisticated place to have some food outside from home.
What I love about the story about your grandmother and her sisters is how simple it was back then, 70 plus years ago, you know, lasagna, pizza, whatever it might be. It was very simple and very real.
They probably do some pasta baked in the oven, like lasagna or pizza. They probably and some fried fish. That's where they probably the menu with some vegetables or some other stuff.
Can you describe Positano for us, since we would love to go there? I've heard beautiful things about it. How do you describe where it is?
Positano, it's in the on the Amalfi Coast in south of Italy, not far from Napoli, and also not far from Rome, just to have an idea of geographically. It's south, but it's actually we are in the northern part of the south of Italy. A very small village, and it's very picturesque because it's quite vertical, quite hilly, a lot of staircase. Not many people live here, less than 4,000. And probably the tourism started very to be more effective in the 60s. Afoenda Stakaja for week. Now it's very, very busy because obviously it's one of a very popular destination of international tourism.
I know the weather is delightful, correct?
Yeah, it's still nice now. So Alfonso just arrived. Thank you, colleague.
Ah, we're going to talk with the chef. Okay. Buongiorno, Alfonso. It's an honor to meet you, sir. Tell me a little bit about you and the impact of your family, because you're the chef, so you've inherited all of these talents. Was this something that you learned as a little boy and then grew into, the idea of cooking this great food?
Yes, pretty much that's what happened. I grew up with this kind of recipe. Eventually, I would start eating before cooking. So I really know the taste, and then it was something that just came naturally. It was just an evolution of me growing up, loving the action of the restaurant business and especially the kitchen life, restaurant kitchen life. I was also in America for quite a bit. I know very well everything of not just the Positano restaurant business, but also I had my experience somewhere else, so I can really step up. I mean, we keep the tradition, but also we stay up to the change that happen.
Modern day, right. I always ask chefs when I meet them here in America, I always ask them, you cook a lot of great meals, but is there something you really love above others to cook? What is your favorite thing to prepare? Is there one?
I think many chefs are like this. They just love the basic. So for me, like the spaghetti with cherry tomato or with clams, I like my favorite. Because on the simple things that you can really can see the touch, you can really see if the chef has something more. On the stuff that is more complicated, everyone can do it after experience. Yeah.
Well, you're making me hungry just talking about it. Can you talk a little bit about your father? I understand he was quite a character and influential on you and your brother and sister, but talk a little bit about your dad, if you would.
A special personality. If he met somebody, he became friends right away. After a couple of minutes, the kind of person that he knows you from since forever. And also, beside this quality, it was like the hospitality. It was like an host, not just a fake smile or, you know, it was like the real host. Yeah, it was like not the typical Italian, like the love of pasta. He doesn't eat pasta very much in his life. He was more like an American, like eating 6, 7, 8 times a day. And like a meeting with friends from 5 in the morning with the people that were cleaning the street. And so they're having a glass of wine, they're having a beer and eating like fried fish or goat or whatever. So he was more like this kind of person.
My kind of person. He sounds terrific.
He was an expert on the meat. On the meat side, he was like how to cook the stuff, even like the first cut, everything from an animal. So he has that special talent that of some things that people that don't cook even anymore in Italy.
Before I let you go, can you just talk about some of the menu items and what makes Tre Sorelle so interesting to diners? I mean, you've got some amazing dishes. What are some of the things you'd like to highlight for this interview?
The seafood, because we are right on the beach, and also we have a longer relation with the local fishermen. So like on the pasta side, we have this calamarata Tre Sorelle. It's an artisan pasta ring with the calamari sauce and another seafood that is absolutely like something outstanding, the clams, the mussels, and also all the fish, like our selection, like you can have on the grill, salt crusted, like the cherry tomato, garlic and olive oil, like the simple local preparation. You can really taste the ocean.
I'm looking at gnocchi and ravioli, and my mouth is watering. I'm a simple guy. That's making me very hungry.
We still do this thing in the house, and you know, for the people that are not in the seafood so much, they're also outstanding. I mean, it's something that sells by itself. We have a great reputation on that.
Your brother and I talked a little bit about the family, and we just mentioned her, but could you just take a moment and give your sister a little description, what she does and why she's so important to the restaurant?
Basically, she's the mind behind us. She, you know, she keeps everything organized. Then, you know,
she keeps the brothers in check, right? She's the brains of the operation, I guess.
I mean, the numbers are also important. I mean, you know, a restaurant is also a business.
Absolutely. Before I turn things back to Lauren, in your own words in English, please invite anybody listening to this podcast who's in America particularly to your restaurant. How would you do that?
We are waiting for you here, Le Tre Sorelle in Positano. Looking forward to see you. Grazie.
Excellent. Excellent. Grazie. Yes, Lauren.
The very first time I came to Positano, and remember, there's lots of restaurants. There are even more now. Tre Sorelle pulled at my heart because of their staff, because of a vibe that I felt. And it was the first restaurant I ever had lunch at. And then it became, you know, part of my being here and coming down, because their dining room is simple. The tradition, you know, reigns on. And it's like a big living room. Everyone comes and they sit and they eat, and who knows who next door to them. And Luigi comes and talks to us, and we know the waiters that have, some have been here over 40 years. It's their career. It's always excellent food, and it's traditional food. So many restaurants have tried to do this and that and this and that, but they've kept the tradition, which is important. Giovanna, his sister, makes the best ragu on the planet, and that ragu is still served in Tre Sorelle, where other restaurants have deviated from tradition. One point that's really important over the years, many important people have come here, and although everybody is equal and when they cook and serve, Michele, Mr. Signor Pisicane, was a big fan of the most famous soccer player ever on the planet. I think Alfonso can take over right now. You can ask him who was the soccer player. And it was just like, imagine Tom Brady coming to your dining area.
Alfonso, tell us about the soccer star.
Yeah, no, because my dad, he was always like a super soccer fan of Napoli team. When Maradona came in Italy to play for Napoli, so he became very friend with him. I mean, he was the greatest player all the time, was the GOAT. It's the GOAT still. So he used to come here all the time. They were like, you know, he was like a big party.
There must be pictures on the wall, right, of the two of them. And right over your shoulder. Perfect. Right, that's great. I wanted to ask Lauren, too. Obviously, you find this restaurant so special because you ended the book that we now love to talk about the beauty of Italy, with Tre Sorelle.
That's right. I forgot about that, Jordan. Because it has a special place in my heart, these guys are like my little family here. Even before I met Reno, you know, Luigi, Alfonso, Giovanna always welcomed us, and me and my girlfriends. And my book's name is It's a Dream Place. And John Steinbeck lived right above Positano. And he used to come here too to dine. And I ended it because the title comes full circle, but also this is also the most little important place in my restaurant heart.
So this is a place that you would definitely bring people when they come on a tour, or advise people to come if they're heading to Italy. They definitely should. I know I will next time I come to Italy, make it a point to be there, right?
Fresh food, cooked with passion. The wine list is phenomenal. It's always a blast to come here, whether it's for lunch or dinner.
And one thing I'll say, and I'll use Alphonse here to illustrate, these people work so hard. I know your staff. I mean, it's not just you, but your whole family and the people you hire restaurant work in America is tough, but it's tough everywhere. But you, when you have to dedicate yourself to it 100%, 110%, it's a lot of time. So we congratulate you for doing that. It's a sacrifice of personal time.
Yes. I mean, everywhere is the same. You have to work when other people don't. You have to work on holidays, on Sundays.
Right.
I mean, if you don't have the passion, you cannot do this kind of job. At the same time, when you make other people happy, when you meet nice people, it's something that is rewarding too. I mean, you sacrifice most of your time. It's very hard. Sometimes you really feel I cannot do it, but then you do it. I took some break from this job. I always miss the action. When I worked in California, I really loved the pace. I really loved there was everything was so much faster. It's something really challenging. I mean, a 9-to-5 job, maybe economically wise, more convenient. But this one is for it's something you have to feel inside you. Then you can do it. Otherwise, if you want to do like a transition job or just to see what's going on, it's something you cannot do it.
When non-Italians like me, I'm not Italian, I want to be desperately, but when non-Italians think of Italy and Italian people and Italian restaurateurs and waiters and chefs, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is passion, love of what you're doing and love to share in that. Lauren, any comments?
It's an art to be in the kitchen and be in the front of the restaurant. You know, it's even better when your little brother's working with you. Alfonso's the big brother. And, you know, it takes a symphony to make music, and they're doing it right, and they have been since
53.
And it's consistent, and it shows.
By the way, Lauren, what are you dining on right now? What's been on your plate?
Our favorite are always the fried alici and the little fraviage, the little bait fish that the fisherman brings in on special occasions. Then we usually have the pasta with scampi or the pasta Nerano, which is zucchini with provolone, cheese. Sometimes we have the fish baked in salt or the acquapazza, crazy fish. It's a simple sea bass with just crushed tomatoes and garlic. These simple ingredients that make these plates and recipes and dishes so spectacular. It's really easy to cook with a lot of ingredients and cover everything up. But when you have great simple ingredients, it's even harder to make it perfect. Yeah. And that's what Alfonso is doing each and every day.
One more question about the food. Knowing Reno as I do and love Reno, he likes his sweet desserts. He's a sweet tooth guy. What's the dessert tray look like at the restaurant?
Beside the tiramisu, we have like the limoncello cake, the delizia al limone.
Oh, wow.
Also the torta caprese is a gluten-free dessert that was naturally gluten-free, like the almond and chocolate cake, a cake that is very local. It's a dispute between Positano and Capri, where it was born, but basically there is no flour. It's a very good thing. Also, like the fruit tart, the white strawberry tart. Every day we have something different because we are very seasonal. Very straight approach also to the dessert.
I have a health question because this was in my notes. And Lauren, you can handle this one, I think. I believe it was Alfonso's father who said to you, make sure you eat an onion every day. It'll keep you healthy. So tell me, does it?
He ate an onion every day, and he used to tell me, Lauren, eat an onion every day. It'll keep the doctor away. And that was the fun about coming here. We miss Michele very much.
Yeah.
You know, he was at every table welcoming everyone, giving little shots of limoncello after lunch or dinner. And he did it from his heart. It was a natural talent. You can't learn that art.
I think it was also the wine. Because he didn't drink any water in his life. It was always...
That never hurts. It's always good for you.
Thank you for listening. And remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.